start up your Tuesday right here on B&A. Appreciate you starting up your day, this day, every day, right here with us. However you find us on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260 even, still cranking. We've also got you live and local and digital on our Horn app all over the world. HornFM.com and on Twitch now. And if you're watching on Twitch, Buck, I did, because of our Austin FC chatter in the last segment, I put on my fancy Austin FC scarf.
Love that scarf, man.
It's opening week for the Austin FC. We got some breaking news on the COVID front here in a moment, but can we pay off the B&E fact of the day? We like to get you thinking every single morning here on B&E. The three NFL franchises have never drafted number one overall. Never done it. Could you name them?
Steelers won?
No. Steelers have drafted number one overall before. The three NFL teams that have never had a first pick in the draft. Gosh, Houston Texans have had it like, my team's had it like three or four times.
Every
and
year.
Screwed it up every time.
The Raiders.
Ooh, Raiders. Zay, do you have a guess?
The Seahawks has to be one of them, right?
Good. Nice. Seahawks. That's one. The Skedaddle Seahawks have never drafted one or two others. The Baltimore Ravens. And the Denver Broncos.
They did when they were the Cleveland Browns, or the Cleveland whatever.
Yeah, well, the Browns became the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
But those three franchises have never drafted number one.
Awesome.
Denver, Baltimore, Seattle.
Seattle.
Where do you go, Zay? One out of three is not bad. That's
not
a tough
bad.
Question. That's a tough question.
It's not as good as I am with 70s music, but it's no, it ain't bad.
You did pretty good on 70s music.
Woo!
By the way,
yeah.
Everybody would have known that riff right there, right? The little Rolling Stones, a little Start Me Up.
Yeah.
The classic Keith Richards riff. But, yeah, we'll have some more fun at the bottom of the hour with the 15 classic rock songs that we should all know within the first couple of notes. Also, hot or not for the end of the hour. We'll dive into our coach's corner on this Tuesday. But here's the breaking news, Buck. Breaking news, breaking news. This is not sports-related, but life-related. The FDA and the CDC this morning have called for an immediate pause on the use of the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Uh-oh.
Which you have received.
Yeah, with no problems. Let me ask you this. Does it suck and doesn't work, or are they afraid of something?
No, it's an issue with blood clots.
Okay, so I've escaped that.
But the
product works.
More than 6.8 million doses of the vaccine have already been administered in the United States. The CDC and the FDA said that they are currently reviewing data involving six cases, all among women between the ages of 18 and 48, where symptoms occurred of severe blood clotting 6 to 13 days after they were vaccinated with the J&J vaccine.
But they're not saying the J&J doesn't work.
No.
I mean, I'm not trying to be selfish. I'm just trying to, I mean, if I went and got a shot, which I hate, just for the sake of it, and it doesn't work.
No, you're vaccinated.
Okay.
But it's a second fear here that there's a blood clot issue that they're unaware of, so they're going to pull it off the market for now. But you're still vaccinated.
All right.
This does not eliminate your vaccination.
That's what I was thinking. Does that eliminate? Now I got to go get the double dose now? Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes.
Because that one's have some side effects also, whether it's the first shot or the second shot.
Yes. So there you go. That story broke just moments ago
shame.
Here this morning.
That's a shame to
seven.
Hear.
Yeah, six women with blood clot issues that have led to severe problems. So that story will evolve throughout the course of the day. Let's get to your other trending topics of your Tuesday morning as you're up and out. Things you need to know. UBO Business Services brings them to you, and we'll start with a little Texas basketball news from the 40 Acres, where word now that senior Jace Febres is going to take advantage of the extra season of eligibility the NCAA has granted to student-athletes due to the pandemic, as he announced on Instagram last night that he will return to Texas for a fifth season and play this year under new head coach Chris Beard. NBA last night, busy night, history in the Bay Area. Steph Curry surpassed Wilt Chamberlain as the Golden State Warriors' all-time leading scorer. Did it on a 53-point night as the Warriors beat Denver 116-107. Also in that game, terrible news for Denver. Their young star Jamal Murray suffered what appeared to be a pretty serious non-contact left knee injury. He will have an MRI today. All three Texas NBA teams in action last night. Spurs whipped Orlando 120-97. Mavs got whipped by the 76ers up in Dallas 113-95. Joel Embiid had 36. Rockets lost to Phoenix, 126-120. Red Hot Texas baseball team back in action tonight. They play the first of two midweek games with the University of Nevada starting tonight. The now third-ranked Longhorns have won eight straight, 25 of 30. All eyes will be on Ivan Melendez, the designated hitter, who's just been on an absolute tear. He's hit a home run in each of his last six games, which is a new program record. He can extend that tonight. By the way, he's got 17 hits in his last 28 at-bats, Melendez does. Sophomore now leading the team with a .375 batting average, .630 first pitch tonight. You'll hear that game right here on the Horn. Major League Baseball, Rangers and Astros, both on the losing end last night. In Tampa, the Rangers were mowed down by the Rays right-hander Tyler Glasnow. 1-0 the final. Glasnow struck out 14 in a 7 2/3 innings of dominant baseball. In Houston, the Astros were a 6-2 loser to Detroit. Familiar face there, A.J. Hinch. His return to Minute Maid Park now manages the Tigers. He received a standing ovation when he was introduced before the game as the team played a tribute video to him for on the big screen there. Of course, managed the Astros for 5 years, including that world championship in 2017. From the NFL, New England Patriots Super Bowl hero Julian Edelman announced his retirement from the league after a 12-year career. And from Kansas City, former Chiefs assistant Britt Reid has been charged with felony driving while intoxicated for his involvement in a car crash back in February that left a 5-year-old girl critically injured. Reid is the son of Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. He surrendered to Chiefs to authorities yesterday. Was released after posting a $100,000 bond.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Someone says, Bucky, quit being a pretender and just go ahead and go over to the Yellow Rose and watch it like you want to.
That's
not true.
They'll be watching soccer there.
Oh, they will be watching soccer.
Will they have scars on, though, like this one?
No, they won't.
This
they
one's pretty
won't
sharp.
Have very much on
this
at all.
This thing's been hanging in my office. It's very warm.
It is. It's warm around your neck. It's a good deal.
I was thinking I should have had this when we had the freeze. Why didn't I have this thing?
I had 30 different scarves around my face and everything else.
Thing was hanging in my office the whole time.
I'll never forget going out there at like 2 in the morning, like the Revenant out in that. Yeah, oh, that was awful.
When your water pump wasn't working or whatever
it was.
It was
so horrible.
God, those were the days back in February. Seems like ages ago.
Once again, I've lived in the cold for a long, long time. Never, ever have been that cold in Boston, Illinois. Well, better watch out for the Illinois thing. No, Boston, Pennsylvania, I've never been that cold for that amount of time. Ever. 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 Never, 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 never.
I think a lot of us were in that boat. And obviously a historic storm.
Never want to see that again. Never want to feel that again.
Minor storms coming this week, Buck. We do have some spring storms on the horizon. If you're looking out, it looks like a rainy pattern is on its way, especially Thursday.
By the way,
and Friday.
There was some hail last night in places. There was big time hail.
North.
Like golf ball size hail?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. All right. So those are your top stories. Obviously, the Britt Reid story in Kansas City, disturbing. And I think there's going to certainly be an NFL investigation in that story now that officially the police have arrested Britt Reid, charged him blood alcohol content level of 0.113, driving 84 miles an hour when he slammed into the two vehicles on the highway, not far from the Chiefs facility the Thursday night before the Super Bowl. As we said, the concern obviously for the young lady, a young girl, 5-year-old, who will never be the same again. But
no,
there's a thought that maybe the alcohol was consumed by Britt Reid at the facility, which not far from where the accident occurred would be.
That's guys doing breaking down, getting ready breaking down stuff.
Now, that's
for the
not
Super
been
Bowl.
Proven. There's going to be an investigation, right. But obviously people are calling for that investigation to happen. Should the league be considering some type of punishment? And obviously, the family, for civil lawsuits, you could sue the Chiefs organization, the NFL,
absolutely.
Bring them into the conversation. And again,
and they want the maximum. Their family has already said no.
Sure, I think we all would.
Yeah.
I mean, that's negligent at every level. And Andy Reid's son, no longer a coach with that team, but that will be a story to follow.
Boy, that's been a hard luck family. I know I feel horrible about a 5-year-old girl that's never, had the whole her life ahead of her, but. This Reed family has had some, and this Brett has had so many problems before this, too.
Yeah, and of course his brother, Andy Reed's other son, died of a drug overdose.
Yep.
When he was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, and then this story, and that's why I say, remember the Chiefs? What they scored 9 points in the Super Bowl. I mean that Andy Reid was a distracted father and a distracted coach.
Of course.
That's not an excuse. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the better football team. They would have won that game regardless, in my opinion, based on the Chiefs' offensive line issues. But the Chiefs were just a disorganized mess in that game. And, that you know, collision, that crash occurred, you know, 48 hours before the game. And Andy Reid's head was obviously elsewhere. Because now when you read these details and the magnitude of that, I mean, that phone call, you know, to Andy Reid and
early
and
the in the
Chiefs
morning or whatever,
night,
or that night,
it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're prepping to fly out to the Super Bowl within a day. And this occurs, and you know, family's life is forever changed. I mean, that story is as ugly as it gets. But that developed yesterday. Julian Edelman retiring. We have agreed not a Hall of Famer.
No,
great player, not a Hall of Famer. One of the great postseason performers of all time.
Yeah, Hall of Playoffs for sure.
And you know, sports are still about winning the game, right? Winning and losing,
right?
Stats are for losers, as some would say. And so he doesn't have the overall stats. But
you play to win the game.
When it came time to win. Win the game.
He's got a lot of Super Bowl rings, though, and an MVP. Was he MVP?
He was an MVP of a Super Bowl.
Yes, he was. Cashed in on that one.
He certainly did, and you had a nice ticket on that.
I did have a nice ticket for him being the MVP, and almost had another one with the running back that one time.
I'll say this about Julian Edelman. He was clutch as it gets, man. When because, you know, everybody in the building knew that Brady was going to look for Edelman in big spots, big moments, and he'd always find a way to get open.
Oh, that one catch that was just so close to hitting the ground.
Oh, in the Atlanta game,
oh,
in the comeback?
Oh, my goodness.
In the comeback when they were down 28-3 and came back to beat the Falcons, he was just a big catch machine in the biggest of games. And, you know, the overall stats and body of work will not garner Hall of Fame votes, but he'll forever be remembered as one of the great postseason players we've ever seen. And now he's retired.
You know, yesterday as we were talking about, when Coach Sark was talking about his 100-play scrimmage on Saturday, which they'll probably have another one this week, of course.
Saturday.
You know, he mentioned the quarterbacks, but he mentioned them as a group. He hasn't gone to the individual, you know, is playing this well or the other individuals playing that well. And he's the freshmen, they're not going to say much about the freshman, Charles Wright, anyway. They're going to let that sort itself out when Tua days come. They're just going to kind of develop him because he's got a strong arm. And he has played really, really good football in high school. And I mean, getting an opportunity to watch Charles Wright throw the ball, it was almost as if you need to get to the other level in a hurry because these kids that you're throwing to have a hard time catching your ball. You got to let a little bit off of some of the balls that you throw. And in college, you don't have to let it off. You can throw that kind of ball to those guys. They should be able to catch it. But he won't be really, I don't think, in the thick of things with this. I think it's a two-man race to be the quarterback in the fall, E, but I like the way Sark is not saying names. We're talking as a group right now.
Yeah, it's really about install right now, and both quarterbacks are getting first-team reps, and the reports have been that both quarterbacks have performed best when they're with the first team, which would make sense, right? When you're playing with the number one offense, you know, both have had that opportunity and both have played their best football, Casey Thompson and Hudson Card, when they're with the ones. And that would be Bijan Robinson at running back and the first-team offensive line and, you know, Jordan Whittington as your go-to receiver. And, you know, we know the defense is going to be ahead of the offense early in these camps.
For sure.
And, but when you do have the ones, that's when they're making their, you know, playing their best. And but this thing will evolve, right? There's still two more weeks of camp. The spring game will be a week from Saturday.
And let me ask you this. There's a guy who gets a kick out of, you know, when I'm – he says, you know, you're the only one that ever talks about Hudson Card as a wide receiver. Because I listen, and everybody, of course, they want him to be a quarterback, and he wants to be a quarterback. But what do you do, E, when you get to a certain point? What do you think when a guy is one of the most valuable football players on your team and he's the backup quarterback maybe? Maybe he's the backup. Maybe he's the starter. Who knows? Is there a time that you start talking to him about something else? Am I nuts for even mentioning things like that when I think this guy is such a great receiver? Maybe down the line, or you wait that out until the end of this summer because he'll be in his second year.
Well, obviously, it's a multifold conversation.
You need a backup.
You need a backup quarterback, but you know your job is win the game. You put your best 11 on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if other, you know, the what ifs are Jordan Whittington's your go to receiver,
absolutely,
and one of your best athletes. You know, but where else are you going to be a wide receiver? Well, what's Josh Moore going to be in your offense? What about Troy O'Meary, the now redshirt freshman? You know, can he evolve? Because if you feel like your receivers have developed and you've got plenty of receivers, you know, there's no reason
which he won't. By the time this season starts, he won't feel like they're all developed enough.
Well, but do you feel good about the receiver position enough that you, because that's a pretty dramatic move to take your guy competing for the starting quarterback job and move him to receiver.
What if he's not your starter? What if it comes out and he's not your starter?
We've compared,
but he's your backup.
And we've talked about it wouldn't be the first time. quarterbacks, you know, Ryan Tannehill at Texas A&M played receiver for 2 years before he became their starting quarterback.
And you give him every opportunity. You're not trying to push a kid to a position that he just because you
can help you win football games.
Right.
And but it's going to be twofold. It's going to be, you know, if the wide receivers don't develop, and you're Jordan Whittington and you're looking for other guys because Brennan Eagles left early, and in the last couple of years you've seen Colin Johnson move on and Devin Duvernay and all these receivers are off to the NFL. You know, who are your go-to wide receivers in this offense? If you need one, if all of a sudden this guy could really help us.
Still be your backup.
Still be the backup quarterback and have a future at the position. I have no idea of how to put
it. We just saw it happen with a running back.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, who would have thought Roschon Johnson would move from quarterback to running back? That happened because of need. Remember, they had the injury issues at quarterback and or at running back, and we needed somebody, and Roschon Johnson said, "Coach, I'll go."
And turned out just right.
Put me in, coach. Well, that's where you wonder, you know, Roschon Johnson, the player availability earlier this spring, during spring practice, was asked, do you still see yourself as a quarterback at some level? And he says, I see myself as a football player, which Roschon Johnson.
Well, and that's a mature thing to say now that you've played, yeah.
Yeah, well, you could move him back to quarterback, potentially, if you feel like you have enough running backs. But that's all going to sort itself out.
Correct.
It's not a decision you have to make right this second. But you're right. If you feel receiver is a position of concern.
I think it's a real, it's definitely a concern for what this head coach wants to do in his offense.
Somebody mentioned Jake Smith, and Jake Smith is hurt too. He's not participating in spring. He's got an injury that he's dealing with. So yeah, I mean, you're very thin at the position, but you know, when you're looking come 145 days from now, 150 days from now, when you're playing Louisiana, what does your receiver depth chart look like? But to your point, if you're even going to consider that, you might want to get him some reps now. So he's at least you see what he looks like in that.
The part that scares everybody when you start saying that. You're moving me.
Correct. And for people that don't know or not aware, you call the Lake Travis games on Friday nights here on the Horn, part of our high school coverage. Hudson Card was a wide receiver at Lake Travis for the first couple of years while you were doing that, and then moved to quarterback when the spot became available and it was his turn. So he did that in high school. And
dynamic
as you said,
wide receiver.
And you, he was there with, who was the kid that's
Wilson.
At Ohio State? Garrett Wilson and
yes.
I mean, just uncoverable, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has legitimate speed. He has great hands. He has all the things that you're looking for, whether he's in the slot or out wide. But if you can get Jordan and that guy, because the other guys are still, I think they're still finding their way. They don't have they have okay receivers. That's what I look at those guys when I watch them. They're just kind of okay. Now, under Sark, do they develop? But you're going to have to develop quick because nobody's going to wait around. You know, and if you have a guy who's one of your better players, we're talking about getting your best 11. And I think that's what this coach is about. I need to get my best 11. And does this guy really, do I look at his film from high school and say, wow, how can I have him backing up? If he is the backup, there'll be those that'll say, wait a minute, he's going to be the starter. But, well, that's yet to be seen.
Well, the problem for me on that, and folks can weigh in, he hadn't played wide receiver in
Don't worry about
four years or so.
Don't worry about athlete. It's like Jordan Whittington. All these injuries. If he's healthy, he's that kind of guy.
Well, I mean, because I think in a look, how many receivers you have on the field on each base offense is three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, optimistically, Jordan Whittington, Jake Smith, Troy O'Meara are your starters at wide receiver. You still have Josh Moore. You're leaving out Kai Money. What about Kai Money? Come on, man.
Wait a minute. Is Kai Money back?
Kai Money's back.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't get any snaps, I'm going to be upset about that.
Kai Money in the house.
I forgot about Kai Money.
I think Josh Moore is a pretty good player. I think Troy O'Meara is the guy that everybody was raving about for his injury last spring. You know, he's a big receiver. So we'll see. But we'll continue to have that conversation. The second big scrimmage comes Saturday. Orange-white scrimmage is a week from Saturday, and it is open to the public. And get all the details on that at texassports.com.
I didn't know Kai Money was back. I got to write his name down on the list.
Coach's Corner brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. It's avconsultations.com. Little thoughts there from the coach on Hudson Card, the quarterback battle. Casey
I'm not
Thompson
saying that anymore because people get weirded out when I start talking about him at another position.
But it's not unprecedented. I mean, Tyrone Swoops moved positions. I mean, players move positions. And it's not against the rules to move a position and come back to a position.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's the days of the portal. People started, don't say it too loud.
Well, you're right, right.
Hey, don't talk about that too loud.
Well, like Roschon Johnson volunteered to go to running back. If Hudson Card doesn't want to move to receiver, then you can't even consider it. Because that's another part of the multifaceted conversation.
Correct.
If Hudson Card says, no, I don't want to move to wide receiver, I'm a quarterback.
Yes.
Yes. But you know Hudson Card. If
Oh, he's just a baller.
All right, so we'll follow that. It's early on here, spring practice, and then, of course, spring game in 2 weeks. One other in our coach's corner, you know, this is a big week. You know, the draft is 2 weeks from Thursday. We're going to talk to Brian Broaddus of DallasCowboys.com, or formerly of DallasCowboys.com, mm-hmm. now with the Fan Radio up in Dallas, our Cowboys insider, at 10 after 8 this morning. Get his thoughts on what the Cowboys are thinking with that 10th pick. But the quarterbacks this week, you know, Justin Fields, the quarterback from Ohio State, and Trey Lance from North Dakota State are both having second pro days. They're both going to have a second time around.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's been pretty quiet about Trey Lance. That's been a quiet kind of deal now for him.
Well, obviously, you know, folks, you know, the 49ers have moved up to the third pick, and we all know we saw Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch attend Mac Jones's pro day at Alabama,
mm-hmm.
But that was on the same day as Ohio State was having their pro day, so those two gentlemen didn't get to attend the Justin Fields pro day. So, you know, a big part of that is, you know, Justin Fields is saying, hey, you want to see it again? Let's do it again. Let's roll it back. I'll go back and we'll do this again. And you know, if John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who now, I mean, this is a big selection for them. I mean, this is going to be their quarterback of the future. You want as much opportunity as you can. And in the COVID time, and you're still dealing with it. It's not as easy as it used to be to bring in players and do your own evaluation and you know, he's setting up another pro day. So that'll be tomorrow. Trey Lance is doing one as well. And we'll try to figure out how these quarterbacks slot. Because as of right now, 2 weeks before, you know, what are we, 16 days to the draft, it does appear that it's Trevor Lawrence, who, by the way, congratulations to Trevor, got married over the weekend. Got married. Mm-hmm. To his... until you marry your fiance.
Yeah, the vet didn't stop him.
Got married, yep. And then, of course, the two pick is going to be the BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson, to the Jets. They've already traded Sam Darnold to clear the spot. And then the third pick is San Francisco, and the thought is it's going to be Mac Jones from Alabama, but there's still some belief that Justin Fields is under consideration. Trey Lance would be under consideration for that. So both of those players are having another pro day this week to impress again.
And the less I hear about Trey Lance, the more I think he's the last on the list of the quarterbacks that people are really thinking about right now, because he's going to be a little bit of a project. He has all the tools, but you know, the competition that he's played against, and I know he's big and strong, he can throw it, boy, he can run the hell out of it, but I think he's on the back end. And I think Justin Fields is going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know what it is, a 4-4 guy like that, and some will say, well, Ohio State quarterbacks, not so much. I'm thinking this guy is a cut above. I really do.
Well, he makes the throws. I mean, the question is going to be his anticipation, his accuracy, his ability mm-hmm. to read defenses quickly. You know, those are going to be the conversations. And Trey Lance, you know, might be the highest ceiling of the guys. If you know, hard to be a higher ceiling than Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's as high a graded quarterback as we've seen into the league in a long time. And
right.
Zach Wilson is a pretty high level prospect too. But Trey, some reason I think I'm thinking Trey Lance and the Patriots. Am I crazy about that? That somehow New England, via trade or some level, ends up with Trey Lance. Trey Lance, the kid from North Dakota State, plays behind Cam Newton, develops behind Cam Newton, big body quarterback.
Depends on how long you want to make that a project.
Yeah, well, that's how far is he along. That's why he's having a second pro day. You'd like to get in. Remember, Trey Lance didn't even play football this year. I mean,
I forgot about that.
They didn't even have a season.
That's right.
So you really have to scour to find the evaluation on him. Well, that's Brian Broaddus, how he ranks these quarterbacks coming up. Also, what the Cowboys are thinking at 10. Could they go offense? There's no way they go offense. We got to get to Broaddus on that coming up. Also, the hot or not topics. We're coming back. We are testing Bucky's and your musical knowledge. We'll have another quiz of the 70s rock songs you should know within a couple of notes. We'll have some fun with that coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Horn B&E with you. It is a busy Tuesday. A lot going on. Brian Broaddus will join us, our Cowboys insider, after 8 o'clock. All the draft conversation as it pertains to the Cowboys and his thoughts on these quarterbacks. Also, 9 o'clock hour. Looks like we're going to be on Global Ricky Williams time.
Here we go.
Always love that when you have a chance to communicate with Ricky and he says he'll come on and then we cross our fingers and hope to hear from him.
Yeah, that's how that works.
That he remembers what time zone he's in. But it sounds like Ricky's doing great. He had a tweet yesterday, late last night, saying, if you had told me 10 years ago I'd be a CEO of a tech company and a professional astrologer, I would have laughed at you. And he says, now all I'm doing is smiling a lot. So
these are the answers from Ricky I get.
Okay.
Sure, a little. I've been playing more lately. Sounds good to me. Okay. Yes.
So we're on Global Ricky time.
Yeah, those are the. That's,
we would love to talk to the Heisman Trophy winner, the name of the football field is named after him, and a father to be one more time. And it sounds like now he's.
Don't say one more time.
Well, for another time.
He hadn't got that all knotted up yet.
For another time.
Not two, not three, not four, not five.
Thank you, LeBron.
Yeah.
But we'll ask Ricky about that. And what is the tech company he's now the CEO of?
Weeds.com.
Well, we'll find out if he calls us. We're also talking quarterbacks. Let me say this about Justin Fields, right? I mean, the thing with Justin Fields and Trey Lance, who are both going to have pro days again this week to put another show on for this for the scouts and the people around the NFL. I just need to see more Justin Fields playing football to really have a great opinion. I think a lot of folks in the NFL are in the same spot. He's got some great tape, but if you go back and watch them play Indiana this year, I mean, the best team they played before they got to the playoff was Indiana.
Yes.
And Indiana's defense gave him fits, and they came after him with blitz packages, and he just looked confused and did not handle it well. So that's going to be concerning the NFL teams. But was that just one bad game? You know, but this is a – you remember, he was at Georgia, and then he transferred. He didn't play at Georgia much at all. Then got to Ohio State, and we had a short season this year. They only played six ball games, had a bunch of COVID games. And then, boy, the tape that just jumps off the screen was his performance against Clemson. In the game that he was stewing on for all season because he lost to Clemson the year before, you know,
and there were games in the beginning of the season that guy had, his percentage was ridiculous
against two though, and the question of, but yeah, that's the thing. There's such good tape for Justin, and there's tape where you're like, but at the same time, what does that translate to? There's just not enough game film for me to make a great evaluation on Justin Fields. But the size and the speed and the arm strength is all there. But, you know, that's not what makes a great quarterback in the National Football League. You got to be accurate.
That sure is a nice beginning.
Anticipation. You got to be able to, we always say it's like a fighter pilot, man. What happens when the fight's going on? And can you make those quick window decisions? Can you put the ball where you need to? When you're playing against pros, play in, play out becomes a question. And Trey Lance is even further down that list of just not enough tape to know.
Right.
The raw talent is all there. But you're projecting it. It's similar. Trey Lance is similar to a guy like Josh Allen. When Josh Allen came out of Wyoming. Remember, Josh Allen was
right.
A 57% completion passer, but his team also, his receivers led the nation in drops that year. Like, you talked about Charles White, the quarterback at Austin High, that his receivers just couldn't catch the football.
Right.
I mean, Josh Allen threw a ball that was a professional ball. A lot of guys at Wyoming couldn't catch that football, and he's proven to be one hell of a player. So you're trying to project, and it's a crapshoot, but history would tell you of these five quarterbacks, Buck, maybe three of them. Two of them has a chance to be elite. One of them will be a good player, and then two of them will be not good. That's just been the track record
right.
of quarterbacks. Or, this would be a historically great class. What's Brian about
that? Yeah, I'm going to take the guy that played at a real high level of football.
Which one?
Fields. I'm going to put my money on that guy. Played in big games, been on national TV, really shined and won. Just and the other, but I think we've seen, to me, I've seen enough of that guy.
Says no talk about Sam Ehlinger getting drafted, no buzz. Look, guys, Sam's going to be a third-day draft pick. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, if he is drafted, which I think he will be. I think Sam Ehlinger will be drafted by a team. Third day would be fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh round. I think he's fourth, fifth kind of range. We'll ask Brian that question as well. Let me ask before we go to our music, fun with our music contest that we're having here this morning. Because we like to have fun here on the show of the people. Isaiah Collier, your thoughts on Jace Febres returning for a fifth season at Texas. I mean, we don't know what this roster is going to look like at all. Well, as we said, Chris, if you go to TexasSports.com and click on Texas basketball roster, there's only one name, and it's Chris Beard, because Chris Beard is in the process of forming this roster. But Jace Febres, great shooter, wasn't 100% healthy even this year for Texas, but there's a veteran piece that will be part of what they do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you got a guy who's a knockdown shooter. You can't leave him open at all. And he probably feels like he didn't get the best of himself last season, being that he missed all of those games due to injury. So now, he gets a fresh start. I'm expecting him to be healthy the whole season next year. And obviously, Chris Beard, he probably thinks Chris Beard's going to put him in a better situation than Shaka did. So why not?
Why not? And that came down via Instagram yesterday that Jace Febres plans to return and take advantage of that fifth-year opportunity.
Yeah, you give me that guy, and you give me that little guard that came from Texas Tech.
And Mac McClung?
And we can light it up.
Well, he's in the portal.
We can light that baby up right
there. He's also declared for the NBA draft.
Mac McClung. Just waiting.
He's
Why not?
Putting his options out there.
Absolutely.
Making himself available. All right, so let's play our music quiz. This is fun. We started this last hour. 15 songs, and according to the website, loudwire.com. Buck over there and you out there should be able to identify if you're a fan of classic rock music within a few notes of the song. In the first round, we had Paranoid by Black Sabbath. We had Mississippi Queen. We had Layla. Aqualung from Jethro Tull you had in an instant. And we also had Stairway to Heaven from Led Zeppelin. You went 3 of 5 in our first round.
3 and a half.
Well, I'll give you the half.
Thank you.
Half.
Well, I need to have that half.
And the Layla. But you said Cream.
I had the hook.
You had Cream. You
I said
close.
The guitarist. From
Eric Clapton?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'll give you the half.
All right. I got the half. They got the hook there.
All right. Let's hit number 6 on the list. Can you identify this song by its first couple of notes? Maybe?
No.
Give it to me again. I think I can get it.
ABBA.
No, that one's tough. That's a tough one. That is, Zay, you have a guess? Zay doesn't know.
No, he's just hitting the button back there on this. He has no clue.
All right, if someone wants to guess that, we'll come back to that one. All right, how about this one? A couple of notes, classic rock from the 70s. These are the 15
Love
songs
the
you should be able to identify.
Yes. It's Van Halen?
No. Look, we have a guess. People got we have a winner on the first one.
Do we?
Yeah, well, we have get people. Behind Blue Eyes, The Who is correct. That
Very
is accurate.
Good.
Give me that again, Zay. Give me number 6 again. That's Behind Blue Eyes from The Who, but it's kind of... No one knows. Yeah, well, it's lying. Okay, so did you have a guess on... That's not Van Halen, by the way. I'm going to give you that. That is not Van Halen.
Okay,
it's number
give
2.
Give me that again. It's not a School's Out. That's
yes,
not that song.
Yes, that's right.
Seriously?
School's Out.
School's Out for the summer.
Alice Cooper. So you're 1 for 2 this round. Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad. I think you'll get this one. I'm going to go ahead and guess you'll get this one. Number 3.
Yeah, that's Deep Purple. Smoke on the Water.
Yeah. That's like the first guitar lick any new guitarist learns.
Yeah. Deep Purple.
I
was into Deep Purple, too.
Okay.
During my white days.
Explain that, please.
I was in Pennsylvania when I was...
You're the only black kid in an all-white town.
Yeah, and that's... I heard... Boom, boom, boom. And in the basements of every kid's house, yeah.
Smoking some weed, maybe?
No.
No, not
back
in the day.
Not in grade school. No. I was in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade.
Smoke on the Water is correct. How about number 4 in this round of 15? That's a long one.
Oh,
you know you got that one, right?
Oh, why is my head so foggy? Dream for the years and for the na, 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 na,
you got it. You got the first word.
Dream on. Not Dream Weaver by that guy.
No, it's not Dream Weaver.
Dream Weaver. Okay.
It's Dream On
okay.
by Aerosmith.
Okay.
Give me again, Zach. Give me that one again. That's number 4.
Aerosmith out of Boston, Massachusetts.
That's right. That Aerosmith drummer still live out in Georgetown?
I think he does.
Someone will tell us that. Like the drummer for Aerosmith used to live out there with Cimarron Hills. Like he lived near Nolan Ryan's house. Yeah. Yeah. The guys, somebody will tell me if he still lives there. And then the final one for this round, you have gone 3 for 4 so far.
I'm pretty good right now. I'm smoking.
And I think
got
you'll
that
get
right.
I think you'll be good on this one too.
Okay.
You got to get that one. Lighters are up.
If I live tomorrow.
Give it to me again, Zay.
Come on, man.
You know you got this.
No.
Go back to your white days.
Go back to my white days. If I lived tomorrow, I wasn't white enough. Please don't tell me Leonard Skinner.
Yes.
Dude, I never listened to him. I'm serious.
Them.
Those dudes, I was not a big Skinner fan. No. Back in
Freebird!
The day. No. Freebird, I was not a big fan of them because I was into Jackson Browne come around my town. You know what I mean?
Well, you were into Aqualung. You were into Jethro Tull.
And Aqualung, yeah.
That was your deal.
Yeah. Okay. Got that one wrong. Sitting on a park bench, eyeing little girls with bad intent.
Okay.
Snot is running down his nose.
All right, so there we go.
Greasy fingers smearing shabby clothes.
So far.
I got in an accident to that song, too.
You did?
Yeah, that was the crack.
Was that when you were in the back seat?
I was in the back seat. That was when boys didn't know how to stop drinking, and then we got to the top of the hill and never stopped at the stop sign, and the car just went airborne. And that song was still playing. They were still jamming. Snot is running down his nose. That's when I went to the hospital with my three buddies there, and we went to the emergency room, and one guy had no underwear on.
No.
I had a pair of underwear that said Home of the Whopper on the front of it, and another guy had a pair of bikini underwear on. And
you
so
had a pair of underwear that said Home of the Whopper?
Yeah. That was like the deal. I had a
That's
right
one of the
front.
Greatest things I've ever heard, and I can't believe you never told me that before.
What, the Burger King? It had Homer the Whopper on it. It was great. And the nurses were there trying to get glass out of our hair. It was awful.
So that's my bad. Wasn't wearing underwear?
Yeah, one didn't have underwear. I had Homer the Whopper, and the other guy had a pair of bikinis on.
All right, if you're keeping score at home, Bucky is now 6-10. Or you want 6.5-10. You did not know behind these eyes, the blue eyes, the Who.
Yeah, that was the one.
And can I give you Freebird?
I was into the guest.
Dream On. Actually, you got 4 out of 5 that time. You got 4 out of 5 because you did. Did you end up getting Freebird or no? Did we give him Freebird, Zay?
Yeah, he did because I started singing it.
He guessed Leonard Skinner.
Because I started singing it. The bad
word. You kind of got Dream On because you had Dream.
Yeah.
Smoke on the Water, you got it. And School's Out, you just pulled out of your Whopper.
Yeah, that came right out of the old Whopper.
So I'm going to give you 4 out of 5 that time. So you are now batting 7-10.
Somebody just said, I had those same underwear, Buck. Home of the Whopper.
That's great. All right, 5 more next hour, about 8:30. We'll play the final round and see how Bucky does, and you do. It's fun. We'll also hit Hot or Not for the top of the hour, the topics and things we've missed halfway through the program. Our producer, Isaiah Collier, will lead us through those. Brian Broaddus joins the show after the top, and yes, set your watch. We're on Global Ricky Williams time, hoping to hear from the Heisman Trophy winner at some point this morning.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not, B&E with you. We will reset your top stories coming up top of the hour, including Steph Curry, historic night last night for the Warriors. 53 points, went past Wilt Chamberlain as the all-time leading scorer in that franchise's history. Also, all three Texas teams in action. We got baseball. How about the standing ovation for A.J. Hinch yesterday? Astros playing the Tigers. A.J.'s through his suspension and back on the bench of the Detroit Tigers.
Mm.
And got a pretty long-standing ovation. So a lot of appreciation down in Houston for Hinch. I know a lot of people will boo him wherever he goes as well. But the Tigers beat the Astros last night. So we'll reset those top stories. Brian Broaddus will join us. Talk quarterbacks, talk NFL draft, and the Cowboys at pick number 10. Also on the not hot side, Buck, that would be you. You were up all night. What'd you get, about 2 hours sleep?
2.5.
To pick up the wife. She'd been a week in Idaho.
Idaho.
She couldn't find a better. I mean, 1 o'clock in the morning, she gets off the plane, man. Come on now. That's her.
Yeah,
that's
and I got. I mean, I can't even imagine thinking of having her take an Uber. I'm like, I'll be there.
There we was.
I originally was going to go from poker to there, so it was going to work out well. And I thought I would get some sleep, but my dog got out. So that was 3 hours of wondering where the dog is, which was totally my fault.
You found the dog, though.
I totally left the gate wide open.
Isaiah Collier is hot every morning. He is our producer and has the topics we've missed. What do you have, Zay?
Good looking, fellas. So, E, you've mentioned from time to time how you remember seeing Matthew McConaughey at a Texas game, and he didn't look too well. Well, it was because he was, you know, doing the movie at the time.
Right.
I want to say Dallas Buyers Club.
Yes, he was filming Dallas Buyers Club. I saw him in an elevator at the football game, and really I was worried for him.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the heck?
Yeah, and that's what showcases the best actors and actresses, when they get out of their comfort zone and will do whatever for the role that they're in. Well, You could say that for Kevin James, a.k.a. Paul Bart Mall Cop, who will be playing Sean Payton in a Netflix movie coming up where Sean Payton was suspended for, if y'all remember, Bounty Gate.
Uh-huh.
And when he was suspended, Sean Payton, I guess, coached his son's sixth grade football team. And Kevin James will be playing Sean Payton.
Wait a minute, that round shoulder dude who was on that little that moped thing? That guy's going to be Sean Payton?
Yeah, I heard this. Now, I don't know that he can pull that off. Now, this is an Adam Sandler production, which means he'll be in it. Adam Sandler will be in this movie, correct? And he'll be...
Probably. I don't know. Usually, the Happy Madison production, sometimes Adam's not in it, but...
Really?
He always has his guys like Kevin James and David Spade in his movies.
Yeah, when he's in it, he always casts himself married to some really hot...
Oh, yeah.
Really hot wife.
Yeah.
Which is always good. But no, I mean, the story's interesting because remember Sean, speaking of A.J. Hinch and his cheating issues and the suspension, remember Sean Payton was suspended for Bounty Gate
mm-hmm.
and couldn't coach for the year. So, yeah, the story goes he took over and was a coach on his son's sixth grade football team. So now you have an NFL Super Bowl winning coach coaching your sixth graders. I'm assuming there's a lot of comedy there that can be fun. But can Kevin James pull off Sean Payton? Let me look at Kevin James these days.
What is he? Oh, dude, he's exquisitely round shouldered.
Exquisitely round shouldered.
Right.
And Sean Payton has kind of fluctuated. He's gone where he's put some on in that New Orleans Cajun lifestyle, and then he's dropped it back off. And yeah, there's not a lot of similarities there. They're both white skinned, is what I would say.
Yeah, but the rest of it is round shouldered. I mean, really. He's got to play a round shouldered
role. He's going
to
have to drop a few LBs. I mean, that's,
yes, he is.
Let's be honest about that.
Hey, when you get paid like Kevin that, James, you can do that.
You can get yourself your workout, a fitness sure instructor, nutritionist, the whole bit. And then he just throws a Saints visor on and a Saints pullover, and he'll be good.
Dude, what is that deal that he rides around that mall? And what are those little scooter things?
Mall Cop.
Remember the girl that fell at the hotel?
When we were Big 12 Media Days? Yes, she wiped out.
Ever,
that was classic.
That was the best
Gosh,
of all
I wish
time.
I was recording that. That would have been an all-time blooper.
We'd still be making money from that.
Or something. It would have been gone viral.
She had high heels on, right?
Yes. Yes. She was riding
showing
one of those
off.
Little hovercraft things.
Yes.
And she was cruising. And this was before anybody had ever seen him before.
Right.
And she was a reporter from, like, Texarkana or something. And she was blonde, and she had high heels, and she went cruising, and she went ass over apple carts, man. Face first. It was great.
Nobody would laugh, except for
But that's a
us.
Move... We laughed.
And then we did.
But then remember we had her on the air. She was great.
She was doing
the afternoon show, so she came on with us. It was right during lunch, so we were all sitting there, and she wiped out at the hotel up in Dallas, the Big 12 Media Days.
All dudes just sitting there. She goes by, because they're all looking
but
at
she
her.
She was a good sport
by.
About it. She came
she
on
was.
The show and laughed at herself and showed us the
she face-planted
rug
too.
Burns on her nose. It was great. It was good. But yeah, Kevin James did play. He was Paul Blart Mall Cop, correct?
Yes.
Never saw that. Never saw that. I'm trying to think of Paul.
Don't watch it. Don't
I'm trying
it.
To think of Kevin James films that I've seen. Grown Ups? No. No. No, what's the one with Will Smith?
Yeah, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
What's
Hitch.
The one with... Yes.
Hitch.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That where he tries to teach him to be...
Smooth.
Smooth. Oh, yeah.
It was that hottie he was with.
Yeah. Eva Mendes.
Yeah.
Who, Will Smith?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right, we'll be back. Headlines coming, plus, yes, football chatter with Brian Broaddus, our Cowboys insider from the Fan Radio up in Big D. It's B&E on a busy Tuesday, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.